So welcome everyone to the seminar. As you can see from the title, this seminar like aiming to give you a brief introduction about what Ruby on Rails is and how to use it to develop web applications, i.e. your final project, hopefully. So my name is Lin Feng, one of the CSVP TFs this year. So let's start. So what is Ruby and what is Rails? Why is it called the weird name Ruby on Rails? So Ruby itself is a programming language, it's a programmer's best friend. So the key concept behind Ruby is like to make the programming experience as friendly as possible. So this language actually is a very high-end level, and so you don't need to worry about many things. Like in C, you need to worry about pointers, you need to worry about lower-end memories, arrays, a lot of things. But here on Ruby, like just like PHP, you don't need to worry about like the size of array or like the converted between string and char, or whatever things. It's just like very easy. And also the syntax itself is extremely powerful and easy. So it is learning a new language, but with some different syntax slightly. The grammars doesn't like PHP, which is extremely similar to C. This is slightly different. But for Ruby on Rails itself, you don't need to know too much about Ruby. B, Ruby is a very interesting language to learn. And it's definitely not that hard to pick up. And what is Rails? So Rails is not a programming language. It's just a framework. So suppose like you're supposing to use it to build a website, and for this particular usage, you have a lot of like fixed stuff for website. For example, you need to have a web page somehow. You need to have a database. You need to somehow like have this thing link these two together. So Rails is just like generalize this framework, and then using Ruby as its programming language, as we use PHP as it, right? XML plus PHP and Rails, Ruby on Rails in general use XML with Ruby, which is like embedded Ruby. Like when you use PHP, you use like the kink bracket. How to say that? Yeah, the bracket with
bracket?
Yeah, angle bracket. Okay, I use the kink, and with a question mark. Here you use that thing with percent. So essentially, they're very similar to each other. So since you've already got a lot of experience with JavaScript and PHP, you should be fine with this. And so this is just like, what are they? So why bother? Why bother to like switch from PHP and HTML, which you're kind of familiar with, into this one? First of all, like Ruby's cool. It's definitely. So there are two philosophies behind it. The first one is like dry, so don't repeat yourself. So every single time we try to repeat something, in Ruby, they will either use its special design syntax to let you avoid using that, or you can just put it in a separate file and like reusing it again and again. So like you may imagine like in PHP, actually you may have a lot of like repeated code, I mean page here, page there, like you copy paste in each individual page. But for Ruby, they try to avoid these things and try to keep the size of the code. So in this way, it's very easy to maintain your code. So think if like the similar code is actually in one place and the total size of the code is very short compared with PHP, then for example, later on when you try to maintain something or you hand it to someone else and someone wants to pick it up, it's become very easy. Another key philosophy is like convention over configuration. And what is that? Configuration is like when you try to design new things, you need to config something. For example, for PHP, like we have this kind of structure. For example, we have in PSet 7, we have cell.php and cell2.php, right? Everything is like quote2.php and byte2.php. This is kind of like design decision you make. You decide to separate your things in different files, and this one is calling that, and that one returns something back, and you do something. So this is like configuration, but different people may use different ways. Like for example, you just walk through straight enter a new project, and someone's already using its own configuration. So you need to first of all learn the whole framework structure about how they designed this, what's the design decision behind it, and why. But for Ruby, they decide to, okay, so this is not good. Since like many people need to learn different configurations, we're going to just pick the best configuration we think and just keep using it. So for Ruby on Rails, in total, they, like Rails has this framework. So everyone working to a new project can just like, okay, so I already know what's the design decision behind it and what's the structure about between files and files. So I don't need to do anything. Also, there's some of conventions between like the relationship of database and its individual things with naming conventions. So it's good. And Rails itself is amazing. I mean, it's cooler than Ruby, I think. Because Ruby used to be not very popular, and people think it's a weird language somehow, because for some reason, maybe because it's new, and people already get familiar with C, PHP, everything, and they don't want to switch. But until like Rails came out, and then with this amazing structure, like very simple, concise, powerful idea, and well-structured, like the framework, and people began thinking, oh, actually, you know what? Like, by using Ruby on Rails, like our development time actually can be shrunk like tremendously. So, and then they began to pay attention to Ruby on Rails itself and more attention on Ruby. So now Ruby becomes more and more popular, actually extremely popular now. And it has a like huge community behind it. So people making a lot of plugins, open source things, supporting Ruby. So you can get pretty much everything, just like PHP. So it's cool. So like Ruby itself is a higher level language, as I just said. You don't need to worry about a lot of things like C. So there's a website called Try Ruby. So let's have a look at how it works. So Try Ruby. So this is a console for Ruby. You can type in type Ruby codes into it and actually see what happened.
All right, so I guess what we're just doing right now is going to try the online interactive Ruby console, which should just give you an idea of the power of Ruby before we dive into the framework that is Rails. So here it is. You see the whole thing? I guess you can see most of it. But it has a 15-minute tutorial, and we'll just go through, for example, and start the few first lines. So we'll type in... I can maybe...
Do you have zoom in?
I do, but...
Yes, same thing, like we cannot type while doing that.
Yeah, so, sorry, it's tryruby.hobix.com. And we'll type in help just to start the tutorial. And it'll say things like 2 plus 6, very basic math. And there's the sense of just values being returned to you, to the user, not only printed out to the screen. And it does everything from standard math to, say, we'll create a string here called Jimmy. And if we'd like to display it backwards for some reason, Jimmy dot reverse. Right?
So Ruby has all these kind of like weird functions we can play with.
Yeah, kind of very similar to PHP, which is very loosely typed, as is Ruby. So as soon as we put something in quotes, it creates a string object, like Jimmy, and we can call various methods on that object, like reverse, or something like 40, which is an integer. We'll say to string, and then reverse. So just the series of methods which make all of the commands very short and quick, like 40.2s reverse, rather than having to change something to an entirely new data type.
Just like JavaScript, everything in Ruby is also an object. You can use object dot something to access this method.
Mm-hmm. So something like jimmy.length. It also, you can use the standard arithmetic symbols like plus for concatenation or the multiplication sign for even string multiplication. So all of the things are very simple and intuitive. And I don't know what, can you hear me? Sorry. Okay, I can zoom in again. Things like this. And I don't know what Linfeng has said already, but it's one of the first and only programming languages built for the programmer's happiness. So everything should be very intuitive, and they feel like it should be similar to human language. So we'll do 40 reverse, which is taking an integer and reversing it, but I didn't set it to a string first like I did before. Try that. And most of this you can do by yourself, but I'm just trying to give you a feel of how to create lists like this, sorry. And then you can access individual elements. It's very, very intuitive. So I don't know if you'd like to go back to the PowerPoint yet?
Sure.
Okay.
So now I'm going to talk something about Rails, since you have a sense about where Ruby is. As I said, Rails itself is a framework. And it generalizes the things and uses some conventions. So like new person dig into a new project can automatically know what's the framework behind it. So it's a really powerful idea. So the key framework for Ruby for Rails is like MVC. So it has three different things, like model, view, and controllers, all like separate files. So, I mean, we can do a comparison between our PHP file, like CS50 Finance, versus like something written in Ruby on Rails. So for example, first of all, the model itself is about your database. So everything about the database is actually a model. And you can think each individual table as a model. So for each individual table, you actually create a model to manipulate it. And so in Ruby on Rails, you can directly interact with the database without, like, you can avoid using MySQL query at all. So you can just, like, as if it's your data, and then you use, like, something dot something equals something to play with the database. Mm-hmm. So it's very powerful. And the model itself has the power to validate things. So you have a lot of validation choices to set up in your model. So like this model, this part can only be set to a particular thing.
Right, so again, just to reiterate, the model is just the representation of your data. You can specify the different properties there, whether it has a belongs to something, as in has a parent, like a comment has a parent as a post, or a post as a parent, rather. Or it has to be at least 5 characters long, or has to be an email address. All of that validation is on the framework level. Like when you specify that the user actually entered something for PHP, the login page for CS50 Finance.
Exactly. So second is the view. The view itself is you can think about it as the HTML part and the CSS part. So how your web page is going to look like. excuse me. So you can think of this as your part of your quote, part of your index, like part of spy.php and part of your cell.php. And yeah, so this is the embedded Ruby, which you like the embedded PHP. You use the question mark. Here you use a percent mark. Do you want to add something for Vue?
No, I was just, again, saying, so, for example, rather than using PHP or another language, one of the keys to this is that it uses Ruby along every step. So you don't need to learn, say, besides CSS, XHTML, maybe Ruby. You don't need to learn, like, Python or Perl or all of these good languages, but things you'll often have to learn multitudes of if you're doing a rather decentralized project.
And the third thing is the controller. This is a key part, like connecting the view and model. So in Vue, for example, user inputs some information, asks you to do something, and then like essentially this information will pass to the database and then do something with database and then return the result. So controller is a thing like in between. So, for example, you quote 2.php, you buy 2.php and sell 2.php. Like, they all has like 2 after it, which kind of like you choose to do this because this is probably the most conventional way to do it. So why not generalize it? So like Ruby on Rails think, okay, since many people are using it this way, and So we just provide a framework and automatically generates the kind of relationship for you. And you can just like change things into the file rather than start everything from scratch. So this is the three things for this framework.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's very similar to when you have a very high-level language like PHP. They say that the programmer doesn't need to worry about the low-level details. So they don't need to worry about things like memory management or how arrays are set up. And it's very similar here, but not only is the language high-level, but also is the framework. So if you, I think we talked about convention over configuration, rather. So it's the idea of convention that these things should remain the same over time, over user configuration. So therefore, even if it's not necessarily the best way, or the way that you would like it to be done, it's the way that it is done. So all of these Rails applications are standardized, and you never need to worry about, say, if you enter like an ID column, then that ID column in a MySQL table will always be used to get the data by like ID. So you don't need to do find by ID or find by this. If you set up this standard configuration, then you don't need to worry about a lot of the lower level details.
And once probably you create a new model, say you have a new table, you want to manipulate it. And for example, you create a stock table and want to show the stocks, Ruby on Rails actually will generate the thing automatically for you. Generate a view, generate a controller. So any questions before we jump through? Sorry. Sure.
Right. So that's a really good point. Have we talked about any downsides?
Not yet.
Okay. So we'll just go over the pros and cons of Ruby and Rails first. I mean, we've identified that they are two very different things. And some of the pros are things like programmer happiness and time, just setting these things up because you need to worry about those details. But the biggest problem that I've heard with Ruby and Rails is scalability. So should you be looking to learn a dynamic language and framework for your final project, then this would be a very, very good example. But I mean, if you're worried about scalability for like a startup or something like that, there are different like dialects of Ruby that are trying to be made more scalable, but it's just one of the problems notoriously because you don't have to change, and it's more difficult to change those lower level details. So,
but I mean, as I said, there's a huge community behind Ruby on Rails and many like mainstream website that actually began to using this. So, I mean, they're just trying to figure out new ways to make it more scalable.
And I don't know if you heard the question, but it was that, is there a problem because you can't change these low-level details with making a very scalable website like you would need for a startup and a successful company?
Yeah. So it's like the key thing actually for startup, for website, is actually set it up first. And then after setting up, when it's become very popular, you know, you should be able to support with new servers.
Mm-hmm. But one of the fortunate things is, for example, as you'll see later on when I use the example that I had from last year for my final project, which was in Ruby on Rails, the way it worked last year was we were using not our own servers. So I lost all of my data and my tables and things like that. But with Linfeng's help, I ended up migrating all of that to my own computer and like redoing effectively part of my final project within minutes. Because of the things that Ruby on Rails, or especially Rails, had set up for me. Rather than like going in and editing all of my MySQL tables, which I tried to do the first time, I could just rake, which is like the version of make or build, this information very, very quickly. So if you should like want to worry about scalability, I mean, this could be good for prototyping as well.
Yeah. I mean, that shouldn't be a problem for your final project, at least.
Okay, so in order to set up Ruby, you could do a few different things. And if you're using Windows, and I guess I would suggest this.
Instant Rails. So Instant Rails actually wrap a lot of things with it. So Instant Rails, if once you download Instant Rails, it has a Ruby inside, has Rails inside. As I said, they're separate things, so you need both Ruby and Rails. And beyond that, you have a free Apache server, and you have a MySQL server as well, so don't need to set up anything on your own computer. So you can just use your own computer to test the whole functionality of your website.
Right. So if we'll just go.
Yeah. Also, you have phpMyAdmin for free.
To my desktop for a sec, which is normally clean, I said. So I'll start Ruby on Rails or the Instant Rails. So trying to block Apache. And what you can see here is, if I go up, both Apache have started, so this kind of HTTP server and the MySQL server, which I didn't have to install personally. These are not installed in the sense that I can uninstall them. They're just run from an executable. And I can go to something like localhost MySQL. And if everything works, it's my own version of PHP MyAdmin. I didn't need to set any of this up or install it or worry about configuration files or things like that. And I can go directly to all of my information in my tables. So it's very, very quick, hence the instant part.
Do you want to start a console and then show them how to create the first?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I'll show you how to create a new Rails application. So again, this is with the Instant Rails interface. But once I get down to the console level, it won't be very different. So I'll go over here to Manage Rails Applications. And just on the bottom, it says Create a New Rails App. And all this does is it opens up a command line in the current directory where all of my Rails applications are stored. So I can just type in something like Rails and then the name of my project. So I'll just do a demo. So what it's doing right now is creating all these different things. So let's see.
So you have a lot of free stuff by just typing.
Yep. I'll just see if I can zoom in right here. So it's creating all of the configuration files, the script files, again, like the public HTML files. So this is where your, it says index.html, you can see here, where these things will actually, the web pages will actually be, or the images rather, for the web pages, the public things you need to access will be stored. And
so with one command, you get all the things for free.
I'm just going to try and change the font for you.
And I can see you're a Mac user. So for Mac, actually, don't need to worry about installation of Rails and Ruby. Actually, Mac has already like everything installed.
I have Tiger, though.
Oh, okay. So it's only Ruby, not Rails.
I had to install like a lot of stuff, actually. I was like spending the last couple days doing that.
Right.
But it wasn't too bad.
Right.
Like, a lot of people online, like, I searched for all the errors I had, and people figured it out.
Right. Good. That's cool.
Yeah, and again, and this is true with any project, but the internet, I don't want to be too, like, I guess, endorsing of, like, looking things up on the internet, but with the exception of, like, copying, pasting code, things like that, it can be a very valuable resource, especially with new or at least, like, open source languages. You can find, I don't know if we've talked about plugins yet.
No.
But, I mean, you can just find these very helpful things. Tutorials on how to use Rails or Ruby from everything from like a plugin or just a function to how you should structure your data on a very broad level. Okay, so I tried to change the font size, but I can go in after and just zoom and show you these things. But as you can see, I mean, even if you can't read all of this, it has created a lot for me. And this is the idea of convention over configuration, that all these things should be standard in any Rails or just any web application.
Could you open the folder?
Yeah. I think I had a shortcut to it.
So we'll briefly show you like what's the structure like you got for free and what each individual folder is used for.
So yeah, I just have this Instant Rails folder on my C drive.
So you can just redirect it to anywhere else you want.
Yeah, I put it there just so you can see the things that it has naturally. Apache, MySQL, PHP, PHP MyAdmin, Ruby. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, so I guess just the names at least right now are very important. And these different things that it's installed. So I can go to my Rails apps, which is where I keep my information, and so the cookbook and typo, if you use Instant Rails, come as demos, but I'll go to my demo. And it's created all of this for me from the app to config my database, all of the scripts and everything like that. So
app is the most important thing. Like you have set, you have all this kind of Rails framework in it, like front controllers, models, viewers, they're all matching up each other, like with the by right. setting it to these particular names. For example, in mode, if you call something like post, and like controllers, you have controller post controllers, so mm-hmm. they match up automatically by Rails. So you don't have to worry about like setting up link relationship between them. And like helpers, some helper functions, like which is like kind of out of this kind of three things, but you can use helper functions for pretty much everything. Yeah. So apps is definitely the most important folder. And
so I'm just going to go into my demo directory, and I will do. I'll tell you what this is momentarily. So I just ran the Ruby interpreter by beginning my my line with Ruby. And you can see that there's the script folder with all of the different things you can generate. And I want to generate a type of scaffolding, which is basically like you have, obviously, scaffolding in construction, this very kind of like a framework or a skeleton. So what this has created for me, I've created a scaffolding, so basically all of my models, controllers, everything for the post data structure. And it creates my, basically the standard views of index, show, new, and edit. Have we talked about CRUD at all?
No.
Okay, so basically there's this idea, especially in applications and web applications, of the four different actions that most data, or the life cycle of data, which is CRUD, so create, read, update, destroy. And then this is built on a similar framework, so that there's this new, so create, read is show, update, edit, and then destroy is also implemented, but it's behind the scenes, because you should never have a user like necessarily destroy your data.
Since these are all the views for that particular controller and that particular model.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will go through back into this folder and go to controllers. So you can see there's this application controller, which existed in the beginning, and now my post controller. And I'm going to open this. Sorry.
So, any questions so far? Okay. And just shout it out where you have questions.
Yeah, if I can actually find my. Oh, you know what? I might have unedited. That's what I did. All right. So I'm just going to open this with Notepad. And what I had done last night is I installed Instant Rails, and then I uninstalled my older versions of Ruby and Rails, which meant that I also uninstalled my typical code editor. So, I mean, this is a very, very poor rendering.
Do you want to create Notepad++?
Yeah, okay. So, why don't you take it away, and then I will download the Notepad.
Sure.
And then we'll talk about that.
So, can you quickly show see the PHP? I'll talk a little bit about migrate.
Oh, okay. For which? I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk more.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about Modo itself. So since Modo is something to do with your database, so, okay, let's do a little bit of brainstorm. See, in PSET 7, what are the files having, to do with your database? I mean, connections, disconnections, setting ups, creatings, what are those files? Can someone quickly tell me the name? Like, must be ended with .php, but what are the files for PSET 7 that you're using? For example, to connect to your database. What's the name of the file?
For which is this constants?
Right, it's common.php and constants.php. right? So in constant PHP, you define all your usernames, password, database, everything there. And in common.php, you actually connect to the server, right? Use MySQL Connect, those kind of things. So since like you have, and then you all put them in include, and actually include common in, at the front of each page, right? So this is the kind of the convention you use in your configuration. So now Rails just generate the whole thing, actually saying, if you're going to do it anyway, we'll just do it for you. So Rails actually has its own database configuration files, which is called database.yml, which you can find in the DB folder. So there, you can set up many things. So you can put the names for your, like the address for your host, your username, database, everything. And so it's just very easy to set up. You don't need to really create another additional file for that, right? And also, the way to create your database, actually, I mean, for PHP 7 and 8, we use PHP MySQL. I would assume most of you are using that, PHP admin to create your folder and file. But say, for example, after this final project, we're going to shut up, for example, cloud.csv.net until next year. So you won't be able to, for example, I'm not sure what the exact policy is, but say if you need to migrate to another server, which you're going to use for your final, if you still want to keep it online. So you need to somehow migrate the server, like your database, from this server to another server, right? So if you just use mouse clicking for PHP admin, there's quite hard, like to you need to click again and another server and try to reset it. But PHP admin actually has a way to export your whole thing, but kind of hard to setting up, and each time you need to do it manually. But say, for Ruby and Rails, it actually has a special way for migrate files. So it has a folder, a deep database. In the database, it has a folder called migrate. And in migrate, they have a lot of migration files, and which actually, during that migration files, they have different versions. For example, this is one of your migration files. You can see this is actually, this migration file is an active record, which is a special Ruby thing. And this class is called create post. So actually, with this migrate files, once you run this migrate, it will help you to create a table called posts. Mm-hmm. And you can redo it. Once you redo it, see, it's a self-done. And then it actually will drop that table. And the same thing with columns, sorry. So you can put things into it or create a new migrate files and actually, for example, see that migrate file, assume you already have a table called posts, you can then add columns with special things.
And so what this does right now, it doesn't look like a whole lot when it just says create table posts and then do in t.timestamps, but it actually creates a column called ID, which is an integer, and then it creates two columns, one created at and updated at, the two timestamp columns. And the beautiful thing is that whether you use like InnoDB or MySAM, all these different database types, it has different specifications on what type of database it should create. And basically, if the string, which is like varchar for example, like the MySAM database, but if it's something else for another database type, it automatically just knows that in the sense that it knows these different, like the difference between a string and an int. One thing that's also really neat, for example, is if you create a class or a database called posts, then one thing out of that is a post. So you can just reference it as post, and it has the idea of plurals, but also like fish and fish, if they're the same, or things like people and person. If you have a people database, one thing out of it is a person. I mean, there had to be a lot of in-depth programming behind the scenes to implement it, but I think it's just very neat.
Ruby is smart, and also you need to be good at English.
So, do you want, for these examples, do you want me to go through, and at the same time, because we don't have a whole lot of time left, explain
sure.
the, okay.
Definitely.
Do you mind, say, like 10 more minutes? I'm sorry this got started late, which is actually obviously my fault. But so what we're going to do now is I will go to my old final project, or actually reborn final project.
Or should we show them the video first?
Oh, I don't know how much time we'll have, so if you want, I can post it.
Sure.
Just very quickly, we had this video. Typically, if you, this is not the video. If you watch the, you can't even see all of it. The typical motivating point for Ruby is time. So all of these videos are like, create a blog engine in 15 minutes, which if you watch Kevin Bombino's presentation from last year, is exactly what he did. And it is very, very motivating. But because there are already two videos that show you how to do this, we thought we would go use something else that's not a a blog, maybe that took a little bit more time to create, like the project that I'll show you in a second. And we'll post this video and his video and all of these other resources that you can view. And like I, for example, I used this almost step by step in setting up my own project in the beginning just to see how these things interacted. But just for example, within, let's see, 1 minute and 23 seconds, there you can see they were already online. You've put Ruby on Rails. So then by, let's see, like 7 minutes, they're just all very quick embedded Ruby. Okay. Okay. No, I'm just showing you what you will be seeing, I guess, with little reason. But
so you can watch it later.
Yeah. So we'll post a link to this, or I'll host it, something like that. So what I'll do for Instant Rails right now is I'll click on my project, which is called CompEdge, and then I'll start it with Mongrel, which is kind of like Apache or Webbrick, just a server.
These are all web servers, which is like kind of powering up this website.
So you can see it's listening at port 3000, which is the standard Ruby port, but you can change it. For example, if you run yours on cloud.cs50, and even if four of you create it, you can't all use port 3000, so you will need to come up with something that's your own. I'll go back here. And cool. So, all right. This is my project from last year. And I'm using, if you're just curious, I'm using Prism rather than Firefox. Prism is just a desktop web application launcher, just because it's a lot prettier without all of the sidebar things. And just to motivate it for a minute, what it is I was always upset about student groups, and obviously this you haven't seen this, so it's not in use, but I didn't get it running until the other day. But I was always upset about the comping process in that it's so decentralized because you have to check your email, you have to go show up in person, you may like talk on the phone, and there's just no way to get information out at one time. And it was just very, especially with some big groups, I won't name any, but the comping process is very intense just to join a group. So my goal was, actually I'll sign up, and let's see, my name is... Yep, Ruby Rails, and say that it's Rails, ruby@rails.com. We'll see what happens. ruby@rails.com, password, and sign me up. See what happens. Okay, so we talked about validation, and it says there's a problem with the following fields. Email must be a valid Harvard address in the format, username, @FAS, etc. And obviously, I set this up last year, and I mean, I was the one who wanted this error to appear, but an interesting thing is that it stops at the framework level, so no information was ever sent, and it caught this before I tried to send anything. So say, I'll just say...
Suppose, like, I'm a malicious user, I want to, like, I'd rather know that I kind of view, and then use that view to send information to Aaron's database. That thing will be caught as well. It's not like stop you from the view side. It's actually when you try to write it into the database will get to you. So it's completely safe.
Like. Right. And you can see here, thanks for signing up, these customized messages, but also on this very nice, if I do say so myself, background. So you can see groups I'm comping, my upcoming assignments, things like that. You can change account preferences. And it actually might have been nice for me to have the URL here, because what you'll see is that so it doesn't exist. It might have been nice to have it. Just I can show you in another format in a second. But like these pages are all like we talked about the different accounts or the different controllers, yeah. Right?
And actions. So you can see a view as action, like post is action.
Yeah.
Sorry, new is action.
So it would be something like my local host wherever I'm located, and it'll say like group show, and it'll have a number, or if I want the ID to follow, or it'll say group edit group thing. So just these very very simple things, but you can tell that because it's not a typical information being gotten in the get sense from the URL, that a lot of like post or behind the scenes data transfer.
Yeah, and you won't be able to see actually the extension name like .php or whatever.
So I could do things like I set this up last night. This is the student group, like the Crimson or the Lampoon or HCS, Harvard Computer, that you could comp. So I'll check this out, and it has all the contact information, the description, and also recent posts. And so what I did was obviously taking the model of things being very quick. One sec. I made this. Very quick blog post, which is obviously I'm the only one commenting on it, but I could say something like, So today is the day. Welcome to the seminar. Right? And then it shows up on here. But this is just not being used for corny fun things like this, but also for getting information. For asking questions and responding to them, things like that. So let's say you choose comp. So a new group was successfully added to your comp list, and you can see that it shows up in the corner right here. So I can manage them all. But also, if I log in as the name I created yesterday.
So essentially this thing, you can think like everything is like just a post, the new or the added, whatever thing, just like we generated with Scaffold.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks quite nasty if you just do it with Scaffold, but you can just make the view prettier. But essentially, the thing behind the controller and the logic is the same.
Right. And the interesting thing is too, I think that all this this page is being created, that this page necessarily doesn't exist really anywhere. Like it's in a lot of different parts. For example, this sidebar on the left. So it only loads if you're logged in. And that loads separately than other things in an Ajax kind of way. So for example, I just went to edit this group, and I can look at the people who are comping it, which are me and Ruby, and say, I don't want to comp it, or I don't want Ruby to comp it, or they didn't pass something, then I removed them also just not only from that page, but also in a very deep data relationship level from the MySQL table. And just lastly, I'll go and say like managers, and if I wanted to, I could add someone else. Say, yeah, Ruby on Rails, FAS, etc. And it will look up their address and or send them an invitation. So very quickly, I will just show you what is implemented behind the scenes. So right now I'm in the demo, but I'll go to my own application, which is called CompEdge, and some of the application data. And I will go to, first of all, one of my models. Probably the most interesting one is user. And you can see there's a lot going on here. But it's very, very, again, like we said, close to human language, like has and belongs to many. I mean, you don't see properties like that elsewhere. And it's not in the sense of this really long, annoying string, but that I can both be a member of a number of different groups, as in, like, belong to these groups, but I can also have these groups in a parent-child perspective as these things that I'm comping. Also has many users, and has many posts. And validates presence of, for example, name, validates format of email, validates length of, and these things that, were I just reading these to you, minus like articles and prepositions, I mean, you would think that I were speaking English. And one thing very quickly, we didn't talk about plugins, but this is something that you should take advantage of, but you shouldn't abuse, I think. And it's the same way that you can install these different plugins for PHP or things like that. But what I did was, I don't really know necessarily how to set up like an encrypted password database or hashing or things like that. So the standard for at least Ruby on Rails and the framework that I used, and I guess it does change over time, was this thing called acts as authenticated. So all you have to do is install this source, and it sets up all of these things for you. It sets up the models, the databases, the different columns, so I don't have to worry about like how to structure the salt or something, but I can know that my data is securely stored, or these passwords are. So there are different things like that that you can take advantage of, that people have already written and shared just to save you time, but obviously don't build your whole project where you're thinking of that on these different plugins, which is all, what most of this is down here on the page. All of these authenticated, encrypt, decrypt, remember me. I'll zoom in and show you. Encrypted password, things like that, that this set up for me. And
we see a lot of like things with a column in front. So a column, and for example, a string. So these things are called symbol in Ruby on Rails. And actually these things, are you can treat them as a string. And which is a like constant string, you only need to change it anymore. But you can use it to reference like individual arguments or attributes or whatever things. So and then you can assign this particular symbol to some value, which means like then what this symbol represents in the field will be changed to that thing.
Okay. So right now I'm just in the controller for my groups. And I'll just show you some of the very, very simple things. So it basically wanted to check if you're a manager, and this is a function that I wrote, or a method I wrote myself. Basically, if you, for example, if you're a manager, you can do things like edit the group, edit the users, things like that. But if you're a user, I don't want you to be able to delete your friends from this, from comping this group. So it, before loading the page, it does this filter, and only on these different actions or controls. So edit, update, users, and destroy. And it's just very, very intuitive. So for example, like for to get all of the groups from the database, it's just group find all. Or if you're doing for one person, for group find, just the parameter passes the ID. And you can see this include right here is eager loading in the sense that kind of like, oh, you can't see that actually. There you can. Is for example, if I want to, if I'm planning on using the users of this group right after, or displaying all of the users in this group, can kind of prefetch the data, which is can be a good or bad thing. Good in the sense that it saves time later, but bad in the sense that it makes each load a little bit more costly. And for example, saving it, so I say group.managers.create, as you can see here, right above the line in blue. And the user ID is the current user ID. So very, very simple things. If I want to access this this database through, for like my managers, not really database, but managers table, and I want to access the managers of this current group, I just do group.managers.
So the add symbol is actually the way to pass between variable between controller and viewer, so views. So in view, you can just use the variable as if it exists there.
Right. And again, I mean, it's even though it looks like there's a lot on this page, I mean, this is basically everything that you need. Like, there's no other page besides this, besides my view. This is the equivalent of maybe having 10 different PHP pages, if not more. And I mean, I guess I think I'll maybe the.
So could you quickly go back to page and move to the top?
Sure.
Just show them the layout.
Of this?
Yeah, the layout. So pay attention to the first line, like there's a layout group. So that's the line actually that you choose which view to use, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, like you can use different views for the same controller, same logic, same database. So for example, you're building like website for a web browser, and meanwhile you want to build another website, like same website but for mobile browsers, like people using iPhone to surf your internet. So you may have completely different viewers, but everything behind it is exactly the same. So the only thing you need to rewrite is the view itself.
Right. So I'll just, again, because we've already showed you a few different things, the controller and the model. I'll show you one of the views, and again, I'll show you it for groups. So I told you I loaded this sidebar separately, and you can see the .html .erb is just embedded Ruby, the naming convention. So if I want to show a group, for example, let's see, just change this to HTTP or HTML. So I can say things like if I want to just display when this group was updated, so it loads it in my controller because I want to get these specific groups, but it's just group.updated at, and then I want to do this string format time. That's kind of complicated. But for example, if I want to check if the current user is comping this group, I can just do current user.groups.include and access things very, very dynamically.
And the difference between actually with this equal mark and sometimes you'll see without, like here, the difference is like for Ruby, once you add the equal mark, you can see in PHP is something like echo something. So mm-hmm. the multiple will actually print the result on the page.
Right.
If
yeah.
you didn't add it, it won't.
So up on the left, you see, I can't go much farther, or I guess it's the right, sorry, is you yeah, like the percent equals, which means that it'll print out the group.description. But down here, now on the left, if groups at groups.post.size. So if there are any posts that belong to this group, and again, I don't want to print this out because there's no sense of logic in HTML. So it'll only print the below if it makes sense. And do you think I should just show the MySQL and then we'll be
sure.
done?
Okay. I should add a couple more slides. But
yeah. Okay. So, yep. So we're almost done. And you can see it's a very, very sensible structure. And I will go into the database and just show you one of the migrate things for the users. And this is all I had to do. So rather than going in and creating these different tables like and setting the length and the data type and things like that, I could say something like create table. We saw this before. But this was for me to migrate not my data, but at least my structure onto my own computer. T.string, login, etc. And once, if I just like run rake database migrate, then it'll just create all of these tables for me automatically. And I can show you that right now. So again, I'll just go to localhost and MySQL. I'll go to my comp edge. And as you can see, the different things that I had here, comments, documents, groups, managers, posts, users. And the three things that you'll see that you probably don't recognize are the schema migrations, the groups managers, and groups.user or groups users. And I'll just explain the managers, groups, users, groups idea right now. And that is that we talked about convention over configuration. So if I zoom into this or just show you the structure of this table, in my groups managers table, all I have is a field that says group ID and manager ID. And this is just how you specify a has and belongs to many relationship, in that a manager can have a bunch of different groups, either that a member of or managing, and a group can have a bunch of different managers. So rather than having to specify how to access this in some, and I actually don't even know how I would in PHP or MySQL and like joining these tables, which is notoriously a very, very complex process, this is kind of just like the middleman between the two different group table and my manager table. So again, I mean, we're giving a seminar on Ruby on Rails, so we really like it, I think. And as was pointed out, there are some scalability issues. And we'll just finish up the slides.
So and controllers, views, and there's some like Rails wrappers, like special.
So at the end of that, you can just see the word column, because right. I can't show you anymore, but I guess. But that's all it is column with a quotation mark,
so,
double quotes.
There are some special powerful things for Rails which can make your life easier. Rather than, I mean, Rails is already like make your life quite easier, but there's just some several more things. So first of all is the active record. As I just said, you don't need to use the MySQL query anymore for this Ruby on Rails. You can just like treat it as if you have the data itself. So something like a table.column, which is like, for example, you can say post.body equals to something, or print post.body. So, I mean, in PHP, you need like select something from post, and then what's the data of that, select body from, for example, post, and then where something equals something, and then print that thing out. But here, like everything has been wrapped up with that one line thing. And second thing is like they have a lot of validation functions which provide for you. You can validate whether something presents, or you can validate something like similar to some formats. So don't you write all the regular expressions out as we did in PSET 7 and PSET 8. You can just use the kind of these functions we provide for you. And forms, so Rails has a special way to create forms more easy, like you don't need to worry about all the HTML tags. You can just write something like form 4 as a special function and then do something with it, and then they will generate a form for you, which is really neat. And for Ajax, Ruby on Rails supports Ajax really good. And there are a lot of like special functions we can use just like use in Rails, and then, right, sure. So that will do it automatically.
Yep, so we just went through my example. And again, I just had to download Notepad++, which you can see at the bottom. It didn't take very long at all. But there are a bunch of different editors that you can use, or these resources for books. If you do need resources, just send us an email, and we'll do our best to get you some.
That book's really good. It's like a Bible for Ruby on Rails.
Yeah, and there's things like the Rails Cookbook, definitely online things. And try Ruby, things like that. And again, just one of the best things to do is just use the internet and look up Ruby on Rails, and you'll get, because it is such a popular and also user-friendly language, a lot of people who have a lot to say about it. And this is where you can see the good and the bad. Are there any questions just before we finish? Cool. All right, well, thank you for staying late, and thank you for... everyone here, if you have any other questions, just come back to us right after, and or how to use your own final project with Ruby on Rails. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Sorry for being late.
Oh, just one more thing. So they actually happen to have some like online demos for that open source Ruby on Rails things. You can download, for example, the Student Social. Actually, like. It's an SNS website actually already written in Ruby on Rails, and then you can look at this, how they use it to do different things, and then try to change it, mm-hmm. and to create your own website to do that.